Let's begin today's broadcast with this comment from Mike McIntosh.
Our country, I can tell you, 1,000% is going to be judged. And it breaks my heart because most Christians are either asleep when you tell them, or they don't really care or believe.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Welcome to the Monday edition of Chapter and Verse, where our teacher, Mike McIntosh, has been taking us through a daily verse-by-verse study of the book of Mark. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Sometimes we're called to make a choice. We can go along with the crowd and do what they expect, or we can keep our eyes on Jesus and do what the Lord requires. Our choice reveals who we serve, man or God. As the days get filled with more evilness and people calling good evil and evil good, it's important for us now more than ever to live a godly life and set an example of Christ's love to all who are lost. Again, the title of today's message is The Great Tribulation. Let's join Mike now as he continues in Mark chapter 13.
He shall destroy fearfully. So there's six things. Well, actually, there's 10 things. Let me point them out to you. Number one, a king shall arise. Number two, he's going to have fierce features. Number three, he understands sinister schemes. Number four, his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. So he's going to give himself to the devil. He shall destroy fearfully. He shall prosper and thrive. That's two more. Here's six. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Through his coming, he shall cause deceit. Remember, Jesus said, "Let no man deceive you." He shall cause deceit to prosper. You ever hear of fake news? That's deceit, and it's prospering. It's prospering all over the globe tonight. Under his rule, he shall exalt himself. That's number eight, in his heart. Number nine, he shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes, against Jesus. He's going to turn against the Lord and his name. But he shall be broken without human means. That's a mystery. He shall be broken without human means. I don't know if it's artificial intelligence or what's going to do it, but he's going to be broken. The vision of the evening and morning, which was told, is true. Therefore, seal up this vision, for it refers to many days in the future. And I, Daniel, I fainted. I was sick for days. Afterwards, I arose and went about the king's business. I was astonished by the vision, but no one understood it. Now, you may have thought of this already, but you and I can understand it. Why do you think he sealed it up and said, "This is the end times, and it's going to be sealed up till the end times come"? Well, you see, in Mark, you just read that Jesus said, "And when the abomination that makes desolate is spoken of in Daniel the prophet," there's the first hint that we have that he's opening up the prophet, Daniel, and what was sealed is available to the church. So you can understand what Daniel couldn't understand. So it's opened here. And then when you go in the book of Revelation, you read about this leader that comes and of the horrible things that he does, takes the nations and has a cashless society, one world religion. And he's a horrible human that's been possessed by the devil. We see that his power doesn't come from himself. It's been given to him. So he sold his soul for the devil to empower him. So here we are in the end days. Look at chapter 12 of Daniel. "At the time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation." Now, isn't that interesting? This whole thing is sealed up, and we just read Jesus said there'll be a trouble like never in all of creation. even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn away to righteousness, turn many to righteousness, shall shine like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. And today, like never before, men are running to and fro all over the world. Jets, thousands every day, taking off and landing, dropping hundreds of people in different places. It's crazy. I just spent 20 hours traveling to Indianapolis and back to get there last night because I wanted to be here. And people are in every airport. They're just jammed and waiting to go somewhere. Men are running to and fro. And then this other little hint that we know it's open now and this is the time for it to be open, his prophecy. And knowledge shall increase. It literally is a knowledge explosion. In all of mankind's history, up to 1950, doubled from 1950 to 1960. That doubled up to about 1969 or 70. And then from 70 to 75, that doubled. And then on from five-year periods to less than 5 years, it is doubling so fast there's no way you and I can keep up with it. So now they have artificial intelligence that is listening in your houses with their little machines that you can talk to and get the weather report. They have things inside of our TV sets now that can, if they turn it on, they can see in your house and what you're doing. Your phone is telling people where you are. And if you have the right app turned on, it'll tell who's near you that you know. And you have no privacy anymore. So now they have brothels in Nevada for artificial intelligence with human beings. That's pretty sick. And last week, the Drudge Report shared how that some of these are child size. It's sick. Perverted. This is knowledge going to total perversion. And this Antichrist, this man of sin, he's called in some places. Another place he's called the son of perdition, which is the son of the devil. He is going to use all of this to control everyone. And everything you've ever said on the internet, typed, received, it is stored somewhere. And if somebody wants to destroy anybody and they go to that, your privacy is totally gone. All the kids that have sent pictures of themselves in bad positions without clothes, that'll follow them the rest of their lives, and they can be blackballed out of all sorts of things. I remember one time I was talking to a guy in charge of background checks of an Orange County Police Department, and he said, you know, I had the smartest guy that has ever applied at our department. I said, really? This guy, you know, we try to take the top 2%. This guy was the 1% and then some. We were so happy that he came to enroll, enlist with us and be with us. And then I did the background check. We didn't take him. Why? And he showed me some pictures. This guy with beer can hats shaped like pyramids on his head and his underwear walking around and smarting off at a party. That's not the kind of guy you want to give a gun and a badge to. Be careful on the internet because everything you've already done on the internet, it's been stored away. I was at a dinner one time in the Middle East, and this man next to me was in charge of security for a very, very large international company. And he said, well, Google's plans and some of the others. And I said, tell me, can you? He said, yeah. They're taking everything offshore, and they're going to anchor it in ships away from the United States. And everything that anybody's ever done on a computer will always be available, a hard copy, not to mention where they'll have copies stuffed away inside of mountains and other places. Why would they want to keep everything that you ever said? Because somebody's going to want to use it someday. I love it that we can say to God, I'm a sinner, will you please forgive me? And He knows how to erase our sins. That's the only hope we have in this world, the way it's going right now. Knowledge explosion. It's way beyond human understanding. Computers are designing computers. Robots are designing robots. They're way, way ahead of us. And those that are on the top with the money and the power, they know with their social engineers what they are doing to America so they can accomplish their globalism. But the Lord, He's got another plan, and it's a good plan. I love it. So in Mark, Jesus tells us a horrible time is going to come, and he gives us a hint. And I'm going to encourage you to read Daniel on your own. It's one of my favorite books in the entire Bible. So read it, because he brings it up, and then you begin to see, wow, it says everything's happening now. The time is now. Let him who's on the housetop not go back into the house when this starts to happen. Don't go wasting any time. Whatever you're doing, fixing a TV antenna or fixing the top of your house, time is of the essence. Don't go into your house. Get out of there. The person in the field, you're at work, don't go back home and get a change of clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. Now, there are many commentaries, hundreds of commentaries, and there's really only a few that even tackle that verse. Why would it say, pray that you're not pregnant? I don't need to worry about that, so I've never prayed that. And pray that you're not nursing a baby. Well, if the law and Judaism is still strong because the temple is being built and they're ready to do it tonight, well, then if it was the Sabbath, you could not take your baby more than a mile. And if you were nursing the baby, that would be a burden, so you couldn't go anywhere. That's the closest I've ever heard or read, because it will be reinstituted, and the temple will, and the worship will. And if you were a legalist, you'd stop right where you are. But he's reminding you, at a time like this, you don't want to be a legalist. You want to run. You want to run, and you want to get away from what's going to come. For in those days will be tribulation such as not been since the beginning of creation, which God created until this time, nor ever will be. That's very profound. In the beginning, God created. Chuck Smith, you say, if you can believe those first four words of the Bible, the rest of it will open itself to you. In the beginning, God created. Creation, no evolution. In the beginning, God created. So I want you to go to the book of Revelation with me, if you would, for just a moment. And let's go, first of all, to chapter 8 of the book of Revelation. In chapter 6, we have the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the end times, and all that's going to come on the earth. And then in chapter 8, he starts breaking down some of the horrible things that are going to be happening on the planet. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Now, if you ever heard Chuck Smith teach this, you know what he says here, that there are people that say there are no women in heaven because it says there silence for a half hour. He didn't agree with that. He was just saying there are people that it's a joke. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and I saw them were given seven trumpets. And then another angel, having a golden censer, came, and he stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, threw it down to the earth. There were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. I found it really interesting. Right after the election, the very next day, supposedly a PTSD Marine goes in and shoots and kills people in a bar not far from here, Thousand Oaks, and then supposedly killed himself. Now, the mayor of Thousand Oaks happens to be a pastor at Calvary Chapel at Thousand Oaks. And when he was grieving and you saw him on the news, fires broke out in Thousand Oaks. And then fires broke out in Northern California again, just out of nowhere, and 100, I think I read it was 134 square miles destroyed. There's a town there called Paradise that completely is leveled today, all the homes, all the buildings. And Pastor Dave Sweet from Calvary in Paradise, his house burnt to the ground, and the church burnt to the ground. Everything's gone, totally gone. I have a friend, he's a songwriter, you all know him, you sing a lot of his songs, Brenton Brown. He and his wife and children live in the hills of Malibu. His house, gone. Brenton wrote a song that my son produced that was a top hit for over a year, Soul on Fire. Now his whole house was on fire and burnt down. It's interesting, on the internet I came across a page, I was looking for stuff for World News Briefing with Barry Stagner, and it was somebody had taken a calendar, and every time America did something negative against Israel, a disaster hit our country within hours or days, depending on what it was. Katrina came after some situation that we did something wrong instead of supporting Israel. Katrina came, and it had all these things that happened that looked like judgments. And I started thinking, is that true? Well, God did that same thing with Pharaoh and brought judgments. And when I saw the fires and the shooting and the trouble that came after that election, listen to this. The people of California voted to keep the illegal 12 or 14 cent tax that Governor Brown put on all of our gas without anybody voting for it. We, the people, voted to pay for 10 gallons, give the government another $2. And he had no right to do that. And it was put on the ballot so that you and I would be the people. But they wrote it in a way to say, if you vote for this to get rid of that, our freeways and our highways and our bridges won't be built. You were deceived. That's sad, huh? There's no truth. We're in a time of total deception. In lying. Our country, I can tell you, 1,000% is going to be judged. And it breaks my heart. Because most Christians are either asleep when you tell them, or they don't really care or believe. I just got finished speaking 9 times in 4 days in Indiana. And it was with a bunch of students. And you couldn't give them enough. They just soaked it up. They wanted more of God, more of God, more of God. We've got to wake up. There's got to be someone somewhere that a group of people will stand up. We had our chance, and we just found out that politics are not the answer. We just had the House and the Senate and the White House, and we didn't accomplish really anything for the Lord. And these people that took over, they're angry. This is a time that weeping and crying should be taking place. In the 9th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, God had just finished in the 8th chapter moving the Holy Spirit from the inner part of the temple out to the doorpost. And he took Ezekiel to put a hole through the wall and go into the inner room with the priest, and he saw all this pornography on the wall. And he saw how sick they were. The image, the chambers of their images, their minds, of all the pornography that was in their minds. All the creepy, crawly bugs and things that were unclean that they worshipped. And then they go out in front of the people with their incense and their robes and look like they're holy and righteous. And he did it in an escalation. Step in here. Have you ever seen this, son of man, he says to him? These abominations? And they said, have you seen these great abominations? And then he takes them to another. Have you seen these greater abominations? Keeps accelerating. And then he says, have you seen these wicked abominations? And this is of the clergy in God's house. So finally, he comes out, the Holy Spirit, he's hovering over there. He sees 70 elders of the people and they're ungodly. He sees the young women coming to the temple, and instead of worshiping the Lord, they're worshiping the image, a statue of Tammuz. Tammuz was a sex god. He was like Adonis, the Greek god of sex and fertility. The young men, 25 men, he said he saw, and they had their backs to the house of God, and they were facing east, worshiping the sun as it came up. And everything that was going on in and around the house of the Lord was poison. Next, the Holy Spirit leaves and goes over to the mountain of the east, over by the Mount of Olives. You remember where Jesus ascended, and he was gone. God's nation went on from that time without God's power and presence in the temple. It didn't come back until the book of Acts in the day of Pentecost. And that means it was a miracle that God would put his Spirit upon men and women, and that they could teach and prophesy and minister. We desperately need the Holy Spirit to come upon us and baptize us with this power. And we need to pass that on to more people, because the judgment of God is hovering. And there is a remnant. And whenever there is a remnant, God would pay attention if that remnant cried out to him. I cry out to him. I hope you cry out to him too, that he'll have mercy on our country. I have a brother that is so far from the Lord, and he knows my life went one way and his went the other. He chose to go with a bunch of bitter political people, and I chose to go with Jesus at the same exact time. And he's still bitter and angry. And he's a great guy. But he's had a major heart attack. He's had a stroke. And the last time I looked him in his eyes, went to visit him a couple years ago, he said, "Mike, don't worry about me. I'm okay." I said, "No, you're not. Is there anybody you love that you don't want to be lost? You may be the only person that can gain them." Turn to chapter 16 of the Gospel of Luke before we go home. Luke chapter 16. There was a certain, in this verse 19, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple, which means authority, the color purple, fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. He had everything. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Look at his description. Full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. The first guy's got all the money the world has to offer. He's living in complete luxury. The second man, he doesn't have medical insurance. He has no health coverage. He doesn't have a doctor. He's got sores all over him. The last time in the Bible that we remember about getting sores was Job. He had them on his feet and his head and his back and his legs. He couldn't stand up, couldn't sit down, couldn't lay down on his side or stomach or back. He's miserable. And this man is so weak. He just wants crumbs, so he's sitting out by the garbage. Now, Mike sitting back there told me an interesting thing. He was in paradise, or next to paradise, seeing his sons this weekend when the fires came in a little town called Orville, which is full of drugs and drug addicts. And he went to put some stuff into a trash bin. There were three people living in the dumpster. What has happened to our country? What has happened to the leadership that lets people go so far down like this? This man with the sores named Lazarus, he's just wanting crumbs. Where would he get crumbs? But when the servants brought it out and dumped it in the garbage cans, maybe he could get around. But he is so weak, the dogs would come to him and lick him instead of eating the crumbs. Isn't that the most despicable, degradable definition of a human being? God didn't create us to be like that. We're his sons and we're his daughters. He's a holy God and a righteous God. And yet for some reason, his children don't all get that picture of who he is. So here he is, and the dogs come up to him. And it's disgusting, really. And they lick his sores.
This will be our stopping point for today. We'll move on in Mark chapter 13 next time on Chapter and Verse. Once again, I'd like to remind you that podcasts of Chapter and Verse teachings are available to download. That's right, you can have Pastor Mike's weekday teachings downloaded through this service, and you won't miss a minute of these messages. Podcasting of Chapter and Verse, it's easy and it's free. Just go to our website, MikeMacIntosh.com, and under the teaching link, you'll see podcast. There you'll find simple step-by-step instructions so your device will automatically receive each day's message from Chapter and Verse. Your life takes all kinds of unexpected turns. Now you can take Chapter and Verse teachings with you wherever you go. Podcasting of Chapter and Verse, available at MikeMacIntosh.com. Coming up on the Tuesday edition of CNV, Mike will conclude his message, The Great Tribulation. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.